This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm super excited that you're joining us today. Got a fun show. It's all about children's books, illustrations, and fun ways that you can help shelter animals and adopt your right and perfect forever pet and give them the right and perfect forever home. Of course, we're talking to Christine A. Lombardi, who is author extraordinaire, and she's got a new book out called Crouton. So we're going to talk to Christine a little bit about the book, the writing, the illustrations, because she does it all herself. And then we'll talk a little bit about writing styles in general and what attracts her to this genre, as well as how this is different than other things she may be writing. So it's going to be a great show. We're going to pick her brain a little bit and have some fun with it. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is author, illustrator extraordinaire, Christine Lombardi. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I love the book. The latest book is called Crouton. And it has this wonderful picture. It's a pink book, beautiful picture of this kitty cat. So it attracts you right away. So I love that. Tell us a little bit about Crouton, the book, and then is there a Crouton real-life furry friend?
Okay. Well, the book is based on a cat that I had named Boo. Sadly, she passed away a couple of years ago, but she just had such an impact on my life, and I knew I would write a book about her one day, and I sort of probably started it maybe 5 years ago and just kind of kept chipping away at it and tried to find the right way to tell the story.
Nice. And that's pretty amazing, because I mentioned before, the book's geared toward children or yes. young adults. And for the novices out there that want to write in this genre or are writing this genre, if you're not familiar, it's not that easy. You know, when you say 5 years, you think, well, you should whip this out in about 5 days, but that's not the case, is it?
I was guilty of saying things like that before I did this, and I said, well, this looks so easy. What is it, 200 words? But the challenge is you have to tell an entire story in, it's either 32 or 40 pages generally. This one is 40 pages, but you have to have a beginning, a middle, an end, and a page turner, and it's a challenge in a lot of ways, but it's fun. It takes a while to kind of get that down, but once you do, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's fascinating the fact you mentioned that you have a short period of time to get your message out, as well as get the attention and keep the attention of the children. And that's a very discerning audience. You know, there's attention spans not known to be large, we'll say. And then if you don't catch them right away, then A, they're not going to finish your book, or B, it's not going to be their favorite that they go back to time and time again.
Right, for sure. And it's funny, when you read to them, you can see the parts that they take the most interest in. But also, when you watch them reading the book, they don't miss anything. You could have the tiniest little detail in the background that maybe I just drew in to fill space, and their eyes will go to it without a doubt. And they'll say, what is that little thing? It is so cute, you know.
It's very true. I mean, I've never written a children's book. My first book was very simple, about stories of the animals that I work with. And on the cover, you know, is a dog and a cat. You'd have a dog and cat if it's about that. And then a little praying mantis was up on the label of Wagging Tails. And I never thought it would be a children's type book, but it attracted a lot of the young adults and a lot of children. And that was the first thing they always noticed was,
it's so funny,
my gosh,
right?
That bug is up there. So tell us then about Boo and, as we know, the book Crouton, how you came about the title and the writing, and how did you come back to tell a life story and what it meant to you and what your little baby meant to you in that short of period of time?
Yeah, over the years, I kept notes. I always have a notebook. I generally go through about two of them a year and just take notes, bits of dialogue or little ideas. I have a running list of pet names for different books, and Crouton was on the list. Crouton is just, I just think it's such a cute name. I have a thing for food names. I always think they're funny. But yeah, having this adorable little cat, she was sort of a tuxedo calico mix, I guess. I adopted her, and there was just something so special about her, and the little things that she would do were just so charming. So a lot of the things that ended up in the book were truly inspired by this cat. You know, there's a spread in the book where Crouton says, I help her get focused on her homework. And the joke is that she's laying on the homework. So that was something Boo would do. She would lay across artwork. She would lay across my keyboard. She was just always in the mix.
Very nice. Well, you got to have an assistant, you know, when you're writing these books, you know, and in life, you got to have an assistant nearby to keep you straight and keep you going.
It's true.
In addition to learning more about Boo or Crouton, as the book is labeled, you have some other messages in there too that I picked up that you wanted to get across to our children, our young adults, and even going up to the parents.
Oh, about adopting?
Yeah. One of our favorite topics for sure, because obviously all of them need the right and perfect forever home. And I loved how you phrased it, and the fact that, you know, it wasn't the people necessarily finding the animal, but the animal, the cat, finding the people.
Yeah, well, as I was writing the story, it just felt a little too predictable. So originally, I just kind of had the process of me adopting Boo and all of the things that go into, you know, when you go to the shelter and, you know, you're trying to find that perfect fit. And it just felt too expected. And it took me, I mean, that's why I say it took a few years, because I finally figured out that I wanted to flip the narrative and make it that the cat think she's doing the adopting. And then once I knew that that was going to be the angle, then it was much easier for me to write. And so I basically just thought about all the things that we say when we go to a shelter, and we say, oh, you know, she has the sweetest disposition, you know, or this one's a little, you know, a little active, or a little this, a little that. And we use all these descriptives to talk about the animal. And I thought, well, how funny if the cat is saying all this about the humans.
Exactly.
Then I really had fun with it.
Exactly. And I love that aspect, because I definitely, obviously, rescued, we'll say, or gone to shelters to bring home the right and perfect forever animal in our lives. But, you know, I was a former president of the Humane Society here in Northern Atlanta area. So, yeah, I understand how you have to write the right and perfect bio. As you want to attract, we're discerning, you know, the fact that we have to make sure it's the right fit and the right household, these type of things,
yep.
Being part of the Humane Society. But if you don't catch their eye right away, both with the animal as well as the bio, by writing something unique, then you lose them right away. And I love the fact that, you know, in the book Crouton, it's the cat is deciding, really, ultimately. You know, you can say all you want about me, but I'm really going to decide who I'm going to go home with. And I love that approach on it. And the illustrations, we had to go into that because you are the illustrator. And once again, that's not an easy task, because when you're writing a children's book in particular, you have to, A, catch them by the story, but you also got to catch them by, as I mentioned at the get-go, the cover, the design, the characters in there. Because if the kids or anybody reading the book is not attracted to what you're putting down in illustration, then you're going to lose them. So how do you go about deciding how you're going to design it, and how are you going to put together the characters and do the illustration?
I think especially with this book, I wanted to have kind of a push-pull of maybe a little bit of sarcasm in there, like in, you know, for instance, the homework spread I mentioned. But, you know, the humor of there's one scene where Crouton says the next day we both needed some grooming, you know, and grooming is a word you always use with cats. And then in parentheses, it says one of us needs it more than the other. And it's the girl's hair is an absolute mess. And you see Crouton sort of clawing her hair. sort of getting her ready to go to school. So, I mean, I had so much fun with that. But I think it's, you know, the words, there's an interplay of the words and the pictures as I'm going through the process. And then, you know, sometimes you have to have the 500-foot view and say, this is just not funny enough. You know, maybe the words are okay, but the pictures could be better, could be funnier. So sometimes I literally go back to the drawing board and I say, what if I did this? This could be funnier if I did this. And I think that's sort of like putting the puzzle pieces together when you're writing a book as an author illustrator, when you're writing it, because you don't always want the picture necessarily to reiterate what you're saying in text. You want it to be something different or contrarian. So I always have fun with that. And I wanted to set the scene definitely of a shelter because I'm so pro-adoption. So I wanted to make sure that I opened with little Crouton in that shelter with all the animals, you know, waiting for the doors to open. I just kind of had to get inside everyone's head, you know, and say, what is it like from their side, you know, to see these feet walk by? You know, if you're in the lower cage, what does that look like? What does that look like from the animal's perspective? You know, it kind of breaks my heart when I think about it, you know, because anytime I do visit a shelter, I make sure I look very low, you know, because it's very easy to stay at eye level, but there's animals everywhere. And just trying to get into their head and say, what do they feel? Are they nervous? Are they hopeful? You know, do they look out and look at us and say, oh, I like him, I like her? So it was a lot of that.
Nice, nice. And that's part of the research behind it, too. Now, the question is, did you do any research as far as getting 10 kids in a room and reading the arc of this to decide if they really liked it or not?
Believe it or not, I didn't. I didn't. No, I mean, I decided on the narrative and my editor and I, you know, went back and forth and everything. It was sort of just mostly the two of us working on this and saying, how can we make it stronger? And, you know, I think one of the things that we probably thought about the most is, would a cat say this about a human? Because at one point I said, she's kind, she's super cuddly, which is true of humans. I mean, I'm always hugging my cat, so I could see a cat saying that about me, which sounds crazy. But, you know, saying somebody is kind, would an animal say that about a person? I think so, because when, you know, the little girl is brushing the cat, you know, she's sort of doting on her. It was those adjectives were probably a bit of a, I wouldn't say the most challenging, but as far as writing it, we wanted to make sure it would fly, like it would make the most
sense. Yeah. In my opinion, it's no different than in writing any other genre, whether it's a mystery or anything of this sort. The fact that if you don't get into the characters and feel what they are feeling and what they're seeing and how they would approach themselves, then that's never going to come across. And it's, as you mentioned before, you have even a tougher task, in my opinion, because you have to get into the characters, but you have such a short window to get that message across. So it makes it, in my mind, a little more challenging too.
Yeah, and I didn't want it to be too sad. I mean, I remember going to shelters and just seeing things that just ripped my heart out. You know, like when you see the cat stick their paw out, you know, out of the kennel, and oh
yeah,
I wanted it to be accessible. I didn't want any children to be depressed, you know, by the shelter, but at the same time, you know, there is a strong message, you know, that there's someone out there for everyone, and I just think everyone should adopt. I don't know why we don't clear the shelters, and I'll get off my soapbox, but you know, there's all these breeders and designer animals, and I just think there's all these little animals waiting to be adopted. Let's take care of them first.
There you go. So go to your local shelters and rescues and let them choose you. That would be the key. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, talk to Christine Lombardi more about the book Crouton, and then we'll delve even further into how she masters her craft. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right for this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Real people, Real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author and illustrator extraordinaire Christine Lombardi and her latest book, Crouton. So we talked a little bit about the book itself and the message it comes across, but obviously you've written numerous books and received accolades and awards for your work, so kudos on that. Do you go into, whether it's, we're talking about Crouton or any of the other books, with a walk away? You know, there's a message, as we mentioned, but is there your thing that at the end of the day, someone's reading the book and you want them to get this out of it, or they say, hey, I really, whatever about the book, I love the book, or I love this or that. Was there a central thing you're hoping as an author or illustrator that comes across?
I think so, but I think when I work on a book, it doesn't seem like I'm really trying to hit anyone over the head with a certain message, but there always seems to be one. I had somebody approach me at a book signing once and said something like, I love your books. They're all about acceptance.
Ooh.
And I said, are they? Like, I just...
You should have said, yes, they are. Thanks for catching that.
But I do, I definitely, something touches me. Like I had probably my lesser known book, but had a lot of heart, was called Mr. Biddles. And it was about a lonely, sounds ridiculous talking about it, but it was about a lonely cat inventor who was in his basement working, you know, toiling away, and the doorbell rang and he went upstairs, and it was basically a lobster delivery gone awry. He got this lobster and he never looked at it as food, which I do have a thing for lobsters in tanks. I feel terrible for them. So I have to cover my eyes at the supermarket. But what he does is he takes the lobster in, he introduces himself, and he makes him his assistant because his little claws can hold a screw or a hex nut.
Nice.
And he puts them to work in the lab and they become the best of friends. But ultimately, the lobster, whose name is Hobson, he has to go home. He misses his family. He got plucked from the ocean and he just wants to go back. So I wrote this story and, you know, I realized it's sort of like if you love something, set it free, you know? And
I love it.
I didn't realize it at the time, but that really was the message.
Absolutely. And once again, acceptance. So I think that, you know, the reader is spot on. You know, lobsters and cats can live in harmony together, you know, tongue in cheek. But it's very true. You know, there's no reason that animals can't get along. People can't get along, even though we may have different lives and different paths that we're taking. So,
and they look good in lab coats. So
that's right. And then turn a little hex nut. I can't even do that. Forget it. I drop
I
it on
look
the floor
that up.
Too. Yeah, yeah. What is the hex net? I guess that's what AI is for nowadays. I don't know. Hopefully just that. So we'll talk about, I'm going to mention the chicken and the egg. So when you're putting together the book, you're the writer, you're the author and the illustrator. Which comes first, illustrations?
I think illustrations. I mean, for years, I tried to just write straight out, just write a manuscript, like open Word and write it. You know, I would fixate on the page count and the page, how the pages are laid out, so I could visualize it. So if it's spread 8, 9, I would have the text for 8 and then the text for 9. But then ultimately, I always went back to sketching. And sometimes I'm a big list maker. Sometimes I would just make a list saying, what would be a blast to draw for this book? And then as I came up with that list and started drawing it, it got more and more fun. And then the story started to gel more. And then the words came second, because I was already telling so much of the story and the art. So I needed the text to sort of push the narrative a little bit, you know, in what I couldn't show in art. And so I ended up kind of doing it backwards. And I think I still pretty much work that way. I mean, I have the general idea, but I think, especially with a picture book, I think the pictures carry so much of the book. And you can tell little side stories too. You know, you can show emotion in the art without having to say, okay, you know, now it's sad or now it's this. I remember with that same book, I had the sky changing, you know, so it was blue, but then, you know, when Hobson had to return, it got increasingly cloudy. So it was just a way to change the tone temporarily. But I don't, you know, I think it's just bit by bit. It's such a process. I mean, along the way, they call them book dummies. When you sketch out the whole book and you're looking at it, you know, you're able to turn the page and figure out if there's good action coming. You know, does the child want to turn the page? You know, you kind of want to have a mini cliffhanger if possible. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of back and forth, or, oh, this won't work. I have to change this. And, you know, by the time you're done, you can have 10 to 15 different book dummies.
Oh, there you go. And then maybe you can turn those into 10 to 15 different books. Now there, now you're talking.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice. That would be
nice. It's a process. It's definitely a long process.
Well, I mean, and that's why I tell people, I mean, just writing in general, it's very rewarding. But when you're starting to talk about, you know, children's books and illustrations and things of this sort, there's a lot that goes into it. You've got to have a good story. You've got to have good illustrations that captures what you're trying to say, as well as catch their eye. And it has to be something that you can go back to time and time again. And I think you've done a great job with that, as always, with the latest crouton. So pick up a copy of the book for sure. Well, tell us a little bit about where you're going to be, how people can find out more about Crouton, the book, as well as all your other wonderful writings.
Well, I'm still going around to different bookstores and doing events, and I'll be doing a school visit this week. So yeah, the book is, luckily it was an Indie Next pick, so it's in most independent stores.
Good.
Which is nice. And what else? I don't know.
And where can I keep track of you and your comings and goings and where you're going to be? You got a website or a favorite social media site that you use?
Definitely Instagram. So my handle is Illustration Lombardi.
Nice.
Lombardi. It's a bit long. I would have chosen something different today, but it was a long time ago that I created.
You can always have more accounts, I think, can you? Or I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I don't want to be on there much.
No, that's the key. You got to get your message out any way you can, though. That's all right. So everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's available nationwide. Go to your favorite independent bookstore. Definitely keep track. We'll post Christine's website and all of her socials on the episode, so you can keep track of what she's got going on, where she's going to be. And pick up a copy of the book. It's called Crouton, and you're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it, and everybody's going to love it. So go out and pick up a copy. Christine, thanks for coming on the show. Congratulations again on all the success. And we'll look forward to chat with you somewhere down the road.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was so much fun.
Same here, Christine. Thank you so much. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, ideas, comments, you can drop us a line or a note or however you want to get in contact with us. Of course, it's PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.